And we'll combine forces.
Excellent, excellent, great, great. Well, I say we get going. I want to make sure we get every minute. It's 6:59, but I'm going to call it. And if anyone else comes in, we'll just join.
Absolutely. Let me hit you up with a proper introduction.
Excellent.
Seems like we have someone coming in too.
Okay.
That does, okay. Is that door unlocked?
Yes, both the doors should be unlocked. So thank everyone for coming here to the Black Brand offices today. I will start off by just stating why Black Audacity. Why is that the theme for 2023 for Black Brand? In order to be a business owner in America, it already takes a certain level of audacity, given the statistics of how many businesses fail within the first 2 years. Given that you often are putting up your own money up front to take a risk. But being a Black business owner in America takes a whole different level of audacity, because we are facing a whole different level of statistics, a whole different level of pushback, a whole different fight when it comes to being a Black business owner. So to choose to be a Black business owner in America takes the highest level of audacity, and that's the audacity that we are encouraging all 2023 to laugh in the face of statistics, to ignore some of the obstacles that are put in front of us and still go for the gold anyway. So to lead us in this conversation, we have a business professional, a B-Force consultant, and an expert in the field of government contracting, which is one of the most audacious fields to be in, because the government is going to spend over $1 trillion in government contracts. So the level of audacity to think that we could be some of the folks getting a piece of that is off the scale. So, business professional, government contract specialist, B-Force consultant, and our moderator for the night, William Randolph.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Good afternoon, gentlemen. So good to see you. Good to see you. A couple of things just to set the stage. I am, as Brian said, my title is moderator. This isn't a speech. This is I'm moderating. So I hope to shepherd the conversation. So that means there needs to be conversation, okay? So that's number one. Number two is Brian stole a little bit of my thunder, just setting up the concept of audaciousness. 26 years I've worked in federal government on the contracting side of the house, meaning I was the guy that was trained to sign the contracts, okay? 26 years, okay? Some of the largest contracts I've signed, $1 billion contracts. And it took me 46 years to believe that I could be on the other side of the table. Now, 26 years signing contracts. It's like, and I'm sitting here negotiating with others on the other side of the table, but there was a lot of things that I didn't see that allowed me to, that would have allowed me to grasp the concept of I can do that too. And that's really what I want to talk about. Or at least we have opportunity to talk about when we talk about business. And then kind of the second piece of that is wealth audacity. Mm-hmm. Let's get a definition. Audacity. Help me with the definition. Let's get a definition. Let's get a working definition. What do you think audacity?
Daring.
Okay, let's put it all out there.
Bold awareness.
Bold. Awareness.
The utter gall.
Yes! I love that! That's my phrase! Okay, utter, I always say sheer. The sheer gall.
I use unmitigated.
Okay. Unmitigated.
When you just go right through this path, the women are on this side.
Unmitigated gall.
Straight down those doors.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Any others you want to add to that?
Okay.
Anyone? I'm going to add two. Brazen. Brazen, and then bold, extension of bold, boldness. That was the definition that Merriam-Webster has. It's like brazen boldness. Here's the second piece. Bold, arrogant disregard for the norm. Okay? Bold and arrogant disregard. Like, I disregard. I do not accept. Okay? The norm. Any thoughts about disregard?
Absolutely. So the bold awareness were together. They weren't separate. So the awareness was that you're not oblivious to the pushing.
Risk.
Pushing against, yeah, absolutely.
Risk, yes. It's not oblivious. It's the two-parter. It's a two-parter. It's like, I get it. I know what's required. I know what the risks are. I know what the penalties could be. I'm going anyway. Any other thoughts on the definition? Because we're going to get a solid definition of what we're talking about. Because we're going to be applying this to business and then wealth.
Well, I'd say what my mom used to say, I can't believe you have the nerve.
The nerve.
Yes.
I like that disregard for the norm. I think that's when you build the opportunities.
Well, Seiko, I'll tell you, when I was preparing for this, something hit me. And the concept that hit me was, there has been, in my opinion, are we in a safe room?
Absolutely.
This is a safe space.
Okay, we're in a safe room. I believe there has been a systematic design strategy to take the audacity away from our people.
Talk to them.
I believe it. Okay, now I'm willing to be convinced otherwise, but if my wife was here, she'd tell you how much of a documentary fan I am. I love going back and looking at old PBS, is like my favorite television channel. And I go back and look at all of these stories all the way back from building the Panama Canal and Henry Ford building the Model T and building the Hoover Dam. And in every one of these documentaries, you just wait for it, that there was some rule, guidance, law that said, black folk can't black. Time and time and time again. You just wait for it. You watch it, and you're like, I said wait for it now. I was like, okay, I'm just waiting. And there is some rule that says, nope, black folks can't realize, okay, can't have the audacity to dream and execute and deliver on the promise of their talents. That's all, I think that's always the ask, is just let me deliver on the promise of my talents. Okay, the one that hit me the most is, we all know about Greenwood, the Greenwood District, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right, Black Wall Street. Yeah.
Black Wall Street. During the Trail of Tears, when they moved Indians, forced migration of Native Americans from the East to the Midwest.
Indian slaves.
And that's where I'm going, you know, so you can talk about it. Okay, the Native Americans, in their desire to be audacious and fit in, they were slaveholders. Many of them were slaveholders. 1865, Emancipation Proclamation. Now the land that was given to the Indians, the Oklahoma Territory, okay? Now you have hundreds if not thousands of free black people in the Oklahoma Territory, once slaves of the Native Americans. And the thing that the Oklahoma Territory had to do to become a state was to take away the ownership rights for black folks. The audacity of them. Okay, now the audacity is working on the other side. Okay, it's working on the other side. I'm suggesting that it was an orchestrated, systematic, sadly successful in some arenas.
Sadly successful.
An extraction of audacity. And I'm suggesting it's time to get it back. All right, so let's talk about it. What have you all had? What opportunities? What strategies? What tactics? Let's talk tactics first. What are some tactics to, if not grow, demonstrate audacity, to foster it? Okay, we got to plant the seeds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Education is the
education, nice.
Key.
Education.
Education, information, blueprint,
information. Info, blueprint.
Demonstration.
We'll love it. Demo.
Demonstration, yeah, it's a big one.
Guidance.
Someone said guidance?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Guidance.
Ultimately, economic emancipation.
Okay. So, economic freedom. All right.
Excuse me?
Economic freedom. Those are some of the tactics. What about some of them personally? Anyone have anything that they could share with us that says, personally audacious action that I took? Either in the business, let's call it wealth. Let's put all the things in. Wealth, family, legacy. Because audaciousness is audaciousness. Sir. I'm sorry, I'm coming to everybody. Everybody's gonna get a shot. Yes, sir.
For me, coming from a background that's not so as pleasant as someone would like to have, I took the bold audacity to put myself in arenas and networking, you know, fields of people who looked nothing like me, spoke nothing like me, understood nothing as me, and there was success. And for me, a lot of times, I even had conversations with people who blatantly told me in the most kind way that they see me as a hustler. I'm a businessman. I pay my employees, my taxes, my bookkeeper, just like the next man.
Yeah.
But because of their perception of who I was, and without them knowing my background, only seeing the integrity I'm bringing,
yeah,
but I stepped into that arena and I had some success with it. And it's like, I'm going to continue to do it because we need to do it for people that look like me, the people that have a similar, you know.
I love it. Okay. Putting yourself in new circles.
I was going to use the phrase, force.
Oh, brother, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
Yeah. Forceful attendance or purposeful inclusion. Exactly what you were saying, right?
Purpose. Oh, I love that.
You see a place or a group and say, I belong there, whether you agree to it or you like it or not,
yes,
and
sir.
I'm just going to show up.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Purposeful. Yes. Purposeful
inclusion.
Inclusion. I love that. And here's something, here's where my mind goes for this. I love purposeful inclusion, but the systematic extraction of audacity says you didn't belong there anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why this is needed, okay? Why the inclusion is needed is because the audacity of the audacity extraction worked.
The audacity of the exclusion.
Yes, it worked.
Purposefully include yourself.
Yeah, it worked. Yes, sir.
So would the word inclusion be synonymous with integration?
Mm-hmm.
It would be?
Yeah.
Could be.
Context that you're using.
In my opinion, could be.
Should that be our ultimate goal, though? Like, you know, if you think about the civil rights era, like black folks, Black Wall Street as an example, we had black on everything. We didn't need inclusion. We didn't need integration. The moment they integrated, it's when it all deteriorated.
Well, that's the world we live in. I mean, not only do we live in a racially inclusive world, but we're talking about a socioeconomic inclusivity, we're talking about a professional inclusion, you know, we're a religious inclusion, and so, you know, we're having conversations and participating in groups that are not necessarily ours, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Muslim and Christian can find commonality and work very hard together for the greater good of our people, where we ordinarily would religiously disagree, right? And so that purposeful inclusion could be, you know, the pastor of Second Baptist of Podunk, North Carolina, showing up at the Imam. Yeah, exactly,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. Sir, I, where I thought you were going, or at least let me rephrase it, where I took your comment is that there's a raging debate that can be had on the secondary and tertiary benefits or penalties of integration.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's an argument that can be had there.
Evidence.
Yeah, there's an argument. Right. What I say is, give me the choice.
Yeah.
Don't choose for me.
I don't think there's a debate. I think that it's actually a fact. I mean, my parents are part of the civil rights generation. Mm-hmm. They will tell you the differences in their neighborhood, their wealth, their comfort, the low crime rates and everything. And one of the biggest problems was the government's social structure of integration and different types of economic programs that they thought were meant to free us, but actually enslaved us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian, I saw your name.
Yeah, no, just because what this brother was saying about integration, should that be the goal? I don't think that should be the goal, but I think it should be a goal, because integration is what we call necessary but not sufficient. Like. Mm. We shouldn't be kept out of that room, mm-hmm. but our goal should not be to sit at a table with white people. That should not be the ultimate goal. But
the choice that she was talking about.
Like, I'm not disallowed in that room, but that room is not the top. Yeah. That room is not
if it serves me.
That's right.
Yeah, if that room serves me.
It serves me.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I see integration and inclusion as being very different. And historically, like you were mentioning, they are very different. So inclusion, you include people who have similarities. They have the same weight. They have the same abilities. You know, so they have a level playing field when you include. Mm-hmm. But integrating, you can integrate somebody who has no say. They can just be there. You know, and when we look at how integration played out here in the United States of America, it's like, yeah, you can come here, but you don't have the economic power. You don't have the political power. You don't have the social structure. You don't have the ability to employ anymore because of the results of the way. And the civil rights movement wasn't focused on integration. That's what the government allowed to prevent. I mean, because, you know, Hoover was like, we got to stop the rise of the Black Messiah. You know, King and some of the other groups weren't fighting for integration, but that's what they ended up with.
Right.
And so they thought that would be a launching pad, and it ended up, that's what everyone valued in terms of what the media portrayed. But they weren't fighting for integration. They were like, look, they were saying, look, I pay taxes. I should get the same level of police protection. I should get the same level of fire protection. I should have the same vote. I should have my civil rights, you know?
I thought it was more the integration.
That's how it's been played out.
The cities and those restaurants.
Yeah, that's how it was played out.
I want to eat at the same restaurant the white people eat at. I thought that's
how it was played out. If you read Dr. King, you know, most people focus on Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech.
Right,
but, you know, 3 years later, he recanted all of that.
He realized and said,
I was wrong. Basically. But that's not what America tells us. They just keep pushing it. Mm-hmm. But if you read his writings, he was like, nah, we'll take this as a first step.
Mm-hmm.
Because the protests and those events were to draw attention to the inequity and the hypocrisy of America.
Right.
It wasn't to
I think that's a fair critique.
Sure.
So to go back to this, yes. I would say that if we're looking for an empowerment, we're not looking for integration. We're looking for inclusion.
Okay, I'm just a moderator.
let me add something to that. And I think the whole point, when we look at integration, and I think we always put a negative connotation on that when we talk about Black and white, but I really see that us here is integration of our different mindset, our different professions, our different where we can come from. We're integrating what we could have. We had the audacity to have this meeting to do this and everything and talk about it and really consult and most likely will leave here with much more to do more.
Yeah.
And so like that.
I love that.
So I just see the different sides of integration and inclusion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's where I think some of our leadership bodies have gone wrong. We always talk about that there is not a monolithic African-American community, but we always want everybody to line up and say, do it this way. It's like, wait a minute, you gotta pick, in my opinion. Do you want us to be monolithic, or do you want us to be, we got all shapes. I'm a country boy from Virginia, I grew up on 100 acre tobacco farm. Okay, might not have the same experience as some others that may have had city experiences. I hate inner city. It's like, what's the inner city and outer city? That irks me. It's just a city experience. Okay, that's language. That's code.
That's code from life.
That's the system. That's the system, gentlemen. That's the system.
Yeah.
And I mean, and let me be my personal opinion. Those that manage that system have been audacious.
And sadly, success.
To also go with that, I think, yeah, they have been audacious with it.
Yeah.
But have we been blind to it? Meaning that at some point in time, some of our parents, they were just kind of like, we don't want to make those waves.
Don't make waves.
We're just gonna ride it.
Over the last
2 decades.
Brothers, fair. That's a fair, you know, again, yeah. Fair critique. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I often applaud the new generation. You know, whenever the new generation, when they label a new generation, they're like, oh, they're brash. They don't want to accept the status quo. I'm like, thank God they're here.
Yeah.
Okay, thank God they're here. Because if you get to my age, I'm 52, okay, you figure out how to maneuver. And he's like, look, let's just stay here. You know, you're doing okay. You know, kids are going to school, got a little money in the bank, you know, got a car too, taking a vacation or two. Let's not be brash. And now them young folks like, let's burn the plane down. Burn it down, start over. Okay, so I applaud them. So I think that's a fair critique that every generation, we can go, it ain't not that far of our history, that's pretty close to here. Southampton County, mm-hmm. I'm sure you all have heard the stories of the slave revolts that happened in Southampton County, right over the bridge.
Yes, sir. Okay. About
30 miles away. Yeah, right over the bridge. And it would have been successful if some of the folks was like, look, hey, leave this thing alone. I'm in the house, I got my thing, you know. Okay, let's just be real. And we've had versions of that through the years. I can rock the boat, hey. You know, I got my piece, I got mine. Yeah, yeah. Me and mine got mine. Don't tear this thing apart. He's like, oh, turn it down, burn it down.
Yeah.
Burn it down. Okay, so let's talk. We talked some tactics, we talked some individual stuff, we had a great conversation about inclusion as compared to integration. Tactics, I don't want to go to something specific. One of our gentlemen said he put himself in new circles. Mm-hmm. What are some others? What are some things you've done?
Partnerships.
Say that again?
Partnerships,
nice!
Good.
Say more, sir.
So, I don't try to be the smartest person in the room. I'm trying to understand where I can fit in with others and say, okay, how can I help my business grow and your business grow at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, we own a candle, fragrance, wine. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've been able to do with, for instance, our candles, now we're getting calls from other businesses to come in and do it. I have one now with our brewery down in Norfolk. So first Tuesday of every month we go, and you know, lo and behold, we bring like 20 people. So we have the hits business grow.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we have the non business grow. So just all these different types of partnerships that I'm able to include myself in, because most of these places are, you know, with white owners.
I love it. Partnerships. Folks, I know you know, you have no, I know you all recall, maybe 2 years, maybe it might have been, I think it was pre-pandemic, so let's call it 3 years ago. Rich Lou Dennis, anybody know that name? Rich Lou Dennis, Sundial. He was the CEO of Sundial, the hair care, sold it to Unilever. Mm-hmm. $1 billion deal. Wow. They started selling shea butter on the streets in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his mom, just to survive, turned it into Sundial and sold it. And all our portions of our community gave him hell. He's like, this was a multi-billion-dollar black-owned business, and you sold it. You sold controlling interest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but we have to realize sometimes that a piece of a watermelon is way more than all of a grape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
if you can build watermelon, if you can build the watermelon, like what he did, he just sold off control of the interest of it, and guess what he did? He went and bought Essence, the magazine. Okay, so he could do way more. He could do way more with the sliver of the, with 49% of the watermelon than he could with all of the grape, orange, or tangerine.
Is this the same thing, the gentleman who on BET, Robert Johnson? And he said that, and his wife. Yeah, but he said, look at how many billionaires he made
from that action. Yeah, that action. I love it, I love it. So wow. I love the idea of partnership. That's kind of a big picture level, but, a celebrity level, let's call it that. But this play happens all the time. In the federal government space, it happens all the time. And people will hold a grape and squeeze it so tight when they could just partner with somebody and create something amazing. Yes, sir.
Something foresight, right? To my vision of everything. Like, we right here have to think to conversation of minds and community, people, business owners, I don't know who everybody is, right? But with foresight and information that we're sharing right now, to know that the masses may not be able to realize what that $1 billion sale could do for the community for the next 10, 15 years. So I know that the foresight has to be like my vision for my family, my future, and for the people I want to affect, or us as individuals, with the foresight that we have, and then collectively, you know what I'm saying, that watermelon can turn into...
That watermelon has seeds.
There we go. We cracking codes now. There we go.
You get a slice of that watermelon. How many seeds you got? You got that grape. Yes. That grape got 2 or 3 seeds in it, don't it? Yes. That slice of watermelon choke a horse.
But again, I go back to the system that was designed to extract the audacity. Okay, it's like keep your grape. Mm-hmm. We're gonna let one or two people get a grape. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna let one or two, and like no, don't rock the horse, don't get the cart off the rails. I think there is something to that. The system was the giant. Yes, sir.
When I think about the system, think about how you boil a crab. Mm-hmm. You don't put the crab in hot water. Mm-hmm. You raise the temperature.
Talk to me now.
So that. I love myself to sleep, basically.
Yes.
And then by the time I realize what has happened, it's too late. So when I think about the system, and, I grew up in Carolina, and, there was a lot of don't go there, don't go here, don't do this, don't do that. So certain words were said that you knew this isn't my place. Yeah. But then I also learned, it's like I woke up one day and I was to the point where if I am trying to talk to people that are supposed to be with me, I'm talking about, let's say, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And that looked at me as if, you have the audacity to speak about things that we have never done.
That's not our experience.
So yeah. Then I removed myself. I was like, okay, so I removed myself and came here.
Yeah.
And now it's, we've seen you grow. What are you doing? The same thing I'm trying to teach you again.
Yeah.
But you just see the results.
I love it, sir. I want to piggyback on that. I want to just pose a question. Our brother said that the environment says we don't do this, we don't do that. It's passing along cultural and social mores of what we don't do. Can we replicate that for what we do?
Yes,
do?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Can we replicate that? Can we be intentional? Yes, about saying, this is who we are, this is what we're gonna do, this is what we're gonna be about, this is what we're gonna focus on, this is what we're gonna train on, this is what we're gonna educate on, and we can build our own system.
Yep.
We can build, because we know the system works. Yeah. Okay, we know the system works.
Can we add discomfort to that, right? Mm.
Here.
Discomfort.
Yes.
What does that mean? Getting outside of our comfort zone. Right? That's what you need.
Uncomfortable.
Right? We have to experience a certain level of discomfort, A, to learn, B, to experience, and C, to gain.
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
Are we willing to
leave
home? Are we willing to...
I'm going
to
add that willingness.
Yes. Are we willing to leave our geographic area? Leave mom and them.
But mom, right? Mom and them.
In that discomfort, you also have to humble yourself and say, I don't know everything. So you have to get, put your ego aside and say, your masculinity sometimes and say, you know what, I don't know everything, and because I don't know everything, who can I go to and know that I can trust this person with me saying, I don't know, can you teach me?
Agreed. Sorry, I thought I saw a comment.
Just to put something along alongside there, I think a lot of times we have to be strong enough in our abilities to want to say, you know, I'm gonna stick to my guns. Mm. I know what my field is.
Confidence.
You know, steadfast. You know, sticking to your guns. You know, sometimes your decision ain't the best decision for everybody.
Everybody's
situation is different.
Yes. You
know? So.
Yes, and I remember my father used to tell me all the time when I was young, everybody that come can't go. Everybody that come can't go. Yes, Brian.
So you were asking about tactics.
Yes.
Fostering audacity. For me, from my experience, it was starting small, like practice.
Ooh.
Like breaking small social mores, as you were saying, small social rules. Like I can remember my teenage years going to the movies in my pajamas. Didn't think it was a big deal. My mom thought it was a big deal. My sister was like, people are going to make fun of you if you do this.
Yeah.
I went and did it and probably got judged and came home and it was like, I did this thing that they said they were going to judge me for,
right,
and I'm not hurt. Like, I
get
home and I'm still
I love it.
That is like fostering the mindset to later be the only black guy in the room about tech.
Yeah, that's audacity. I think there's a, isn't there a comedian, his tagline is, but did you die? He said, everything he talks about it, he comes back to, but did you die? And they're like, no, if you don't die, let's keep audacity. Let's keep going. I love that. I love, sir.
All right, so I want to backtrack in regards to partnerships.
Yes.
So the gentleman you told us about, the shea butter.
Yes.
And he sold out to Unilever.
Yes.
Isn't the point of it all equity? Like, mm-hmm.
I think for him and his family, yeah.
So you consider the Unilever guys his partners? They're no longer his partners, are they? They're his buyers.
Well, they are partners because he still owns part of it.
Oh, he
sold controlling interest.
Yeah, 51%.
Okay.
Right.
He sold at least 51% because now it's no longer black owned.
Right.
Okay, but he still got a nice slice of the watermelon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he took his cash and he went and bought something. Okay, you know, Black Magazine, Black Women's Magazine. He's now the owner of Essence.
He has other assets.
So he's got other stuff.
Right.
He's created other stuff. He took one thing and made two things out of it.
Well, a real world example. My company was approached to sell.
Oh,
congratulations. Don't sell. You know? And I was listening to some of the other VCs, and this one guy said one thing. He says, it is far better to own 50%, 60% of a $3 million company than own 100% of a $300,000 company, which is your grape and watermelon.
Yeah.
And again, he didn't get it. And so finally, you know, I open up the conversation with another that says, don't be opposed to sale. We always need to put ourselves in a position to sell, because once we sell, we now in a position to go buy what we want.
Yes.
And build and do even better and greater things.
Sure.
I just want to give you a real world example.
Yeah, that's real.
It is real. And it does, you get, he was in his level of discomfort.
But wouldn't that infer that you don't want what you already own? When you say that I can go, I'm in a position to buy something that I want, but you already own something.
But I had to learn that what I own wasn't all that.
Yeah. So you're like,
somebody wants to buy it.
But it's like playing Monopoly, right?
Uh-huh.
You have a house on the street.
The point is to own the whole block, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And so you got to sell that one house to buy the next house. Right.
The next houses.
Yeah. Now I was coming. Now it's happening. It happened to me at 12.
That's right.
Well, I'm a grown man.
I'm a grown man.
You know what I'm saying? I can be happy with a happy meal now. And as you grow, you need an acquirement. That's the point. So we're not selling because we don't like it.
Yeah.
That's our baby.
Yeah.
You know, we may write some clauses in there to give us some sort of say in how the business runs, or leave a manager from our team in it. You know, there's a way to do that,
right,
to make sure that is what we built. But at the same time, we can go buy what we want, and we can build a business this time with far more money.
Yeah.
Make greater, more audacious decisions,
yeah,
from the onset.
And sir, what I would also add is the business of today may not be the business of tomorrow.
That's right. Mm.
I remember a few years ago, Percy Miller, Master P, wanted to buy Reebok. Okay, wanted to buy Reebok, and wouldn't let him cut the deal. You couldn't make the deal happen. It was 3 days ago. I was in Walmart. Reebok is now a Walmart brand. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
Okay. It's in Walmart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adidas took their place as number two.
Yeah. It's a Walmart brand. So, and for a while, Reeboks were all the rage. I remember the years.
So allow me to play devil's advocate.
Sure. Right?
So, Buffett did a speech once, and a guy asked him, when's a good time to sell a company or sell a stock? And Buffett said, a good time to sell a stock is never. He'll never sell. Like, the company, see, his objective is to own 100% of whatever he's, if he can. Like, you never own 100% of Coca-Cola, but like the smaller companies, like See's Candy, for an example.
Yeah.
He's never going to sell it. So, like,
has he never sold?
If I may interject, that is a perspective, right? We have to evaluate what's our goal,
yeah,
right? If, and in all transparency, I've had this blunder of where I thought, man, I'm going to own, but if you sell, it puts you in a greater position to have more leverage. Now, I'm not just impacting my entity, but now we talk about capital being sparse in our community. Now we can mentor someone. Now we could put seed for them.
Coming
right?
To the best.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it's, I would think it's evil to sell in years past. Mm-hmm. It may be good to sell. It may not be good to sell.
Sure.
What road is going to get you to the destination that you're driving for?
Sure.
And I think we have to have the autonomy to make that decision, the freedom.
Yeah. And I think Buffett has a system.
Yeah,
he has a system.
Absolutely.
He trades a system.
Absolutely.
Right. He trades a system that is not necessarily universally shared.
Absolutely.
It worked for him.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's worked for him, but in my opinion, that's
true.
It's one of many systems.
Absolutely.
And Buffett doesn't buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He slept on Apple for years.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, ooh, this thing.
And he also has examples of selling out too fast as well, where a company would be worth billions now and he only made a few million off of it.
Oh, tough duty.
Right. I get what you guys are saying, but to your point, it's all, I guess, data dependent, I suppose.
Right? Yeah, I would double down on that to only if it makes sense.
Right.
I think that our community has gone so long with not being able to have ownership that we might have overlearned the lesson of ownership. So I'm in music management and I talk to artists all the time and they're like, oh, I'm not giving up ownership on my music. And if that's your goal, cool. But how much is your music making you right now when you own 100% of it? And if you sold 50% of it and it could make you millions of dollars a year, would that be worth it to you? Would that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's why you saw Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, everybody's selling their catalog right now.
What's the young boy?
Justin Bieber just did it a couple Bieber. Days ago.
Yeah, yeah. They're taking value and exchanging. They're reconstituting what value looks like. You can take the dollars over here, take dollars out and put it into something else. Whatever.
Somebody used the word equity earlier, and I think that's this whole discourse. It's just like
about absolutely.
Right.
That's all humble.
Other to-dos, gentlemen. Other to-dos. Let's leave with some things to do.
I'll say unlearn what you learned.
Okay.
Yeah, unlearn is going to be a good one.
You know, what you said earlier was the business of today is not the business, may not be the business of tomorrow. I'll go back and say the business of yesterday is not the business of today.
Mm.
So, you know, what we may have learned about ownership, you know, we learned the American dream is all about owning. And now you're looking and saying, 20 years ago, you may never have thought about someone, you know, vacationing in your home. It's totally changed where, okay, if I can go away for 2 weeks out of the year and have somebody live in my home and all of a sudden pay the entire mortgage off 1 week, why not? So you have to unlearn what you've learned sometimes to think, okay, I got to unpack after a while. Sure. You know, this suitcase is too full. I can't take the same clothes everywhere I go.
So
So I have to unpack in order to be where I need to be.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I are in business, and she learned that you had to do everything. And one of the things that we've struggled with is when to let others do things.
Delegate.
And I'm quicker to say we need to delegate and hire and have somebody do this, 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 and this if we're making a profit. Because, and she was like, no, we got to do everything because nobody's going to do it the way I do it. and we found that moving to allow others who are professionals to do things allows us to do more things. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of goes into this discussion. That,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to unlearn.
Unlearn, yeah, agreed.
Unlearn that you have to do everything.
Yeah.
Because that's not how you scale. And I think, you know, we're learning more and more about scaling now. And the idea of scaling wasn't something that I heard in business circles, the circles I was in 20 years ago. But for the last 7 years, I've been around people who are constantly talking about scaling, scaling their businesses. And they're constantly saying you have to let go of certain things and go after certain things.
Yeah.
And that was totally adverse to what I learned.
I don't know if this is up there. I'm thinking about reinventing. You know, reinventing the ideas. All right, so we're going to go along with what you said. This gave me the thought. So I own a commercial cleaning company.
Okay.
My mom's first husband, my little brother's dad, owned one. My mom has never lived that better in her life when he had that business. He had family, working, everybody.
Yeah.
He let it go. My uncle had a commercial cleaning business. Did really good. He died. God bless his soul. My belief is when you talk about scaling, it's like one of my, not my fear, but one of my biggest goals is to never be, I don't want to be 10 to 15 years into mom called business, right? Just like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we talk about delegating. My company's grown. I started it 3 years ago, quit my job at 21. I'm at $135,000 now, easily, right? And now it's like, all right, like what I'm about to do now, lines of credit, let's jump into this thing, you know what I'm saying? Employees, you know, find a better jobs, a lot of different spheres to scale, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, now I'm trying to figure out my best ways to reinvent my process of teaching these people through the stuff that we never learned. Like, I now have to have a mission statement. You know, with my core values. I'm talking to companies like ADP and all this other stuff to try to go ahead and get HR stuff, right?
Yep.
I'm just a random dude, but this is what I'm learning. So it's like me reinventing the belief system of what a company can be, right? So I just don't have to be mom and pop, Joe Blue, Uncle Ryan and them around the corner to cut grass for the past 20 years out of truck, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I believe reinventing the beliefs is
I think it's fair. What I have heard, I'm coming to you, gentlemen. What I have heard people say is hustling is a season. Hustling is a season. It's one of four seasons. It is hustle, arrive, survive,
right.
And then thrive.
That's
okay? And each one of those had a set of characteristics, strategies, tactics, tools, activities. Okay? Hustle is a season. Everybody has to hustle at some time, but it's a season. Sir.
I think one of the parts when we talk about almost connected to this, we're at a certain point in our lives that we have the ability and opportunity to take on roles or even create roles, not just for ourselves, but for others.
Yeah.
We have the audacity to say that I can be in the Black Chamber of Commerce and then with Brian's help have businesses come through here and become CEOs of their business, not just hustling, but get to a point that they have balance sheets, they have cash flow, they have, you know, doing all those different things. But to take on roles, myself personally, when we look at our, when we talk about civil rights, we talk about justice, we talk about history, we have NAACPs, urban leagues. The point is that we can actually take on roles in those different organizations and make sure our Black voice is heard and continued on through justice. It's just the point that we can do it.
Yeah.
And so.
I love that. I love that. Sir, I saw your hand.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you just saying because a lot of times, and in some spaces that I've been in over the last 2 years, you don't see many of our faces.
All right? Still.
Since we hit in the open room, I'm going to talk about the cannabis thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
It's a safe space.
It is very, I hope anyway. But I've done a lot of travel over the last 2 years, going to different conferences, learning and, you know, about, you know, the growth facilities, the dispensaries and things of that nature. It's not many of us in these fields, mm-hmm. you know. And to your point, just trying to take what you don't want to be a mom and pop to bring, make it bigger in something, it's very difficult because sometimes you don't have the branding to push yourself behind it. Nowadays, it's real easy to brand yourself, whether it's a good way or a bad way. Internet, social medias, things of that, using those type of tools that wasn't an advantage for our parents when they were coming up. So now, that new school of thought is, I need content, I need to put myself out yep. there so that someone is looking at me to be able to do my job and make it so that I ain't in that mom and pop thought process.
Right.
It's all about getting it out there. And sometimes we don't have those avenues or take that bold step to say, hey, you know what? I know that what I have can be upon a bigger and grander scale.
Yeah, yeah, it's real. It's real. I mean, there's a lot of spaces. What has always intrigued me about the cannabis space is I read an article that said that you can go look at the judicial system files, and you see a disproportionate number of African Americans have been caught up in the negative aspects pre-legality and all that stuff. So we've borne the burden of the illegal activity around the space, and as soon as it becomes legal, we ain't in the room.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's system. When it's time to make some money, okay. When it's time to make some money, it's like it seems harder to get in the room. Let's do some more to do's. Yes, sir.
I would say take a revolutionary approach.
I love it. Revolutionary. Say more.
I'm talking about being a change maker, and my goal or my LinkedIn tag is to revolutionize my industry, which is container transportation. So I want to see how I can impact my industry in a way that may not meet the status quo, and just taking a different angle at it. So maybe y'all can dive. I just threw that out.
Oh, no, but look, y'all can dive into that.
He threw something, I caught it. I can't right there. So what I'm about to say is about it, it's revolutionary. It's audacity. Mm-hmm. And this is a safe space.
Yeah.
And it's saying, I might plant somewhere, it might be bigger than me. Whatever. So I heard a long time ago, somebody told me called Wisdom of the Crowd. Wisdom of the Crowd. It's speaking to people right where they are. Mm-hmm. Hitting people right where they are. Mm-hmm. Right? On the complex yes, level, sir. Down to the random Joe Blow.
Yes, sir.
So, right? With that being said, I'm thinking right now how we can attack different spaces, because we have different faces. We have different understanding, mm-hmm. level of information, I mean, connectivity and networking skills, right? Mm-hmm. Who would believe you're in the container space?
Yes, sir.
Do you dive in government?
Dibble dabble.
Well, this so happened. I'm some random dude, but I know a guy that owns a company called Republic Capital Access. He loans money to people that's in the government space. He's a great friend of mine. Helped me secure a loan. This is the network that we have to intentionally place people in it, because I'm just, I know it's Cam right there, right? So you know I'm not saying this.
No. Turn around so I can see it.
Because here we go. Like, I love community, I love networking. I was in BNI, got out of that. Served before his purchase and stepped out. Y'all remember EO, Entrepreneurial Organization?
Mm. Oh.
You see what I'm saying? So a mentor of mine took me there.
I was in Making Millionaires.
Whoa. So you say who?
Making Millionaires. I was into Making Millionaires. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But what he's talking about, you have to have what? Yeah. $2 million in sales?
No, EO is $250 million. But they have a $1 million group and a $5 million group. You know, being right. You know, you got a business you can get in. Right. But EO, $250 million or better. And gotcha. Then after that, you got the million and the $5 million. He's bumping to the million.
Yes,
the energy is different.
Yeah.
When we talk about impact for people in a room, just like right now, right? And I'm looking, like I said, the audacity and the revolution, like, right, I'm just throwing a seed out there, don't matter. But right now, the idea of the people that you do, the network of communication that you have with these other people, you can begin to implement this. Systematically, specifically, focused on doing exactly what needs to be done. Right? Yeah. I ain't even talking about just planting a seed because we're talking about righteousness. Mm-hmm. We're talking about just inclusion. Yeah. We're talking about, but you can actually do that right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, this can start today with whoever, and then y'all know y'all come together and y'all can really smart. I see you're a venture capitalist. Yeah. I don't know you, but you look sharp, you look smart. I'm just throwing out there, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you can be intentional about putting people in these places with all the core goal of building what we have as black people as the black brown. Y'all probably doing it. I'm just thinking out loud.
But yeah, I love that.
You got
love
it.
After this, let me talk to you about up, but government contracting.
Please, the conversation.
I think all of it, I piggyback on something you said earlier. Mm-hmm. It's faith. You got to have a little bit of faith.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. You got to have a little bit of faith because mm-hmm. I think when you were saying everybody can't go, it's a scripture in safe space in the Bible, Genesis 30, about Abraham going up to the mountain. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that Abraham was walking with his servants,
mm-hmm.
but going up to the mountain to slay his sons,
mm-hmm.
he told them that he couldn't stay with the asses.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going up these mountains, when you have to have a little bit of faith to mm-hmm. going up to the unknown, you have to leave some people behind.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. some parts of this new circles, these partnerships
mm-hmm.
that we've heard, or these starting small or unlearned behavior is mm-hmm. because people have taught us so much and talked to us not here.
Yes.
You can't do it. Yes. You shouldn't do it. It's going to cost too much. You're not strong enough. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith in yourself
mm-hmm.
and have that confidence to know that when you go up that mountain, it may be a ram in that bush to give you that true sector of growing into something bigger.
Yeah. So, brother, I appreciate that. Because I tell you, some of the times I have wondered why our community, and sometimes many of our own family say, don't do it, mm-hmm. don't stay small, don't try it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe, and maybe I'm a little Pollyanna about it, but I believe they actually have our best interest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay?
The system has said, ooh, the person that rises above the crowd gets shot at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the person that rises above the crowd always is the first target to get shot at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our families want the best for us. Here we go. He named it. I think they want the best for us. But the audacity, you know, it's like audacity has been penalized. Let me say it that way. There have been times in our history where audacity has been penalized. And I just think there are some lessons that have been learned that need to be
unlearned.
Yes, sir.
You go back to the to-dos and stuff, and going back to what the brother man said, we have people in this room. Ryan and Blair have numerous businesses that have different levels. Their connections are different levels throughout, you know, the city and everything. And if we as African Americans, there's one thing that I talked to with Blair beforehand, before B-Force came, B-Force and everything, we were utilizing white millionaires as the trainers. And I was like, there's no black millionaires out here? There's no black trainers out here?
Yeah.
I think, you know, it was like, why? But we do. We have to actually get to the point of standing up and saying, this is what I do, and I'm here to help and support. Let me use my knowledge and my resources, my connections for what you are doing. And then, just like you said earlier, to humble yourself and say, I need that help so I can become just as high as you so that I can bring on the next person and the next person and the next person.
Yeah.
That's a to-do that we need to stand up and then look back and bring the next person up.
There's some cycles that sadly need to be broken.
Another thing, brother, it's been alluded to a couple of times. It's on the tactics as blueprint, but establishing, and you said system, establishing a system. So as we are experimenting, going along the process, documenting that. So when you have the person where you have the opportunity to delegate, you don't have to say this is the end result. You can provide them some type of structure of these are the steps,
right,
while still providing them the creativity, the opportunity to be creative and approaching it differently. But you've given them safety and you've given them a proven track record that they can follow.
So, operating manual.
And absolutely.
And ability to.
Right. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Folks, I want to tap on the one was the revolutionary approach. I want to take it to one next level and talk about innovation.
I'll give you a 5 minute warning.
Okay, got it. Innovation. This is the last one for me, and then I'll be willing to take all the other comments. Innovation from a standpoint of the larger community loves our cultural innovation. Eat it up. Mm-hmm. From a trend perspective, we are trendsetters. And trend creators and lifestyle creators.
The inventors of the cool.
Can we tap into that same energy?
Let's monetize it.
Not only, of course, I'm always all about the dollar. Yes, I don't overshadow that. But can we leverage that energy that created in the culture and transpose it into other channels? Okay, business, wealth creation, family creation, legacy creation. We have the ladies on the other side of the building, okay? And I tell you, the ladies are building businesses like crazy. You read the stats.
Yes, sir.
Black women crushing it.
In every education, business, self-improvement.
But here's what I'll tell you, gentlemen. When you look backwards in the history, it's only our successes are only when we can defend them.
Ooh.
When we can defend them. Ooh. So while the ladies are doing their amazing thing, someone's got to guard the gate.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. So I believe it's a combo. We can't, that's too strong. We need to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where I'm at. We need to be with them. We need to be building teams. While many other communities are saying, no, I can do it alone and all this stuff. This is the exact time we need to be building teams. Okay, eat lunches. Heating them up and eating them. Okay, so that was my last comment, is that our ladies, our black females are audacity. They're mining their audacity. And we see it on a daily basis. I think we should be doing the same, and to make sure whenever there have been losses, it's because we couldn't defend what we have captured. Whatever we made, and you look back over our history, whenever things went horribly wrong, it's because there was no one with the spear defending what we made. Okay, any last comments, folks? Because we want to make sure when we go together, we got some stuff for the ladies. We got some stuff on any other to-dos. We've got new circles, introducing ourselves into new circles. Partnerships, watermelon and grape, accepting some level of discomfort. Okay? The willingness to accept the levels of discomfort. Confidence, knowledge, understanding, starting small, it's okay, starting small. Unlearning what we've learned, even when it was learned for our quote unquote best interest. Okay, having revolutionary approaches and then creating some systems that can be replicated and taught and passed down. Not a bad set. Anything else? Any other contributions to the list? I'm going to hit them with it when I get in there.
I would say having some type of evaluation. Being able to assess where we've gone, are we able to sustain this audacity, this brazenness that we have, or have we just shot our shot just enough where we...
I love it. Sir, you put something on my head that I said I wasn't going to talk about. I said what I'm going to talk about, but I want to talk about it.
Talk on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ed Reed and Bethune-Cookman University. Okay. Now, I don't condone the language. Mm-hmm. I don't condone the messaging.
Mm-hmm.
But doggone it, the message was pretty powerful. Yes. We can debate whether it was appropriate or not. But the message of, wait a minute, you guys, you aren't focused on, you aren't making the main thing the main thing. Okay? I thought that was very interesting. And many of the first reactions was, sir, to your point, don't say that out loud. We don't critique ourselves out loud. I was like, no, that's what it needs to be said. That's what it needs to be said, because nothing will change if we don't do the evaluation of ourselves. If we don't put some type of measure up and says, how do we measure up? Okay. And we always say, no, we don't measure. We just go, you know, they're doing the best they can. Okay. If that's always the answer, then we never get to a place where after the evaluation, there's some new day, some new thing, some evolution. Yes, sir.
What do you about ethics and just evolve?
Yeah.
We have to evolve after that.
So yes.
So we have to actually continually evolve, because we see history, and we have so many people who get caught up in history and stay back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying that we don't go ahead and make sure we don't make the same mistakes and we don't look at history and learn from history, but we don't continue on where we're at right now,
because
we're not gonna grow. You know, my family never talked about life insurance, never talked about stocks, insurance, trust, foundations and everything. Never talked about that. It's like that. But now I'm talking about that with my daughter. I'm evolving.
Yeah, I love it, I love it. Yeah, I just think there is some self-assessing that we have to do as a community.
Absolutely.
Okay, I just think there's some self-assessing. I think my normal 5 minutes is up. Got it.
Yeah, no, it just ended. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna let our powers combine now and head over to the conference room where the women are. However, sandwiches, chips, and water over here. If y'all didn't get it during this conversation, then please grab some now and we'll head over there.
Right.
Straight to the other side of the building.
Let us powers.
Let our powers combine. We gotta talk, brother. We gotta talk about your